Welcome to Hype episode 185. My name is Selena and I am joined by Pam this week for another week of exciting entertainment news discussion.
Yay!
Yay! You know why I always laugh at the start of the show is because I start off like, yay, it's hype. And then like halfway through the sentence, I'm like, let us entertain you with our news.
I hope that we do that. I mean, the people, they keep coming back, right? So can't be that bad.
Yes, it must be. That's a good sign. We have some fun news stories to get into this week. A little bit of everything, a little bit of music, a little bit of movies, a little bit of TV shows. Then we have our TV show of the week where we'll be talking a little bit about The 100 and Lost in Space. And we're going to start the show after I give the contact information with a spoiler-free Infinity War review. So basically just our impressions because we've both seen it now. And I think most people who really like have been looking forward to this film have seen it. But obviously there are still people that haven't seen it. So we will just give our, you know, spoiler-free reactions here, and you can skip it if you want to, or you can listen to it. And then for our Patreon bonus segment, which is for patrons that support us with $2 a month, you get our full, spoiler-full review of the movie. So you can look forward to that, and that's over on patreon.com/hypepodcasts. It will be, we'll let you know on Twitter when that part will be up. All right, so before we get into our spoiler-free reactions, I would just want to give you the contact information. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us, hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter at hypeablehype. You can also find us on Instagram at hypeablehype and at Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, although Twitter and email is usually the ways that we gather the most feedback. You can also visit hypeable.com, which is hypable.com, although they just got rid of the comment system again. It's like an ongoing saga of the comment system, you know, disappearing, if you will. No comment. Yeah, so you can't leave reviews there. You can still get the episode and stuff. But you, if you want to leave us comments, then please tweet or email. Aside from iTunes, I also just wanted to remind you guys that we are now on Spotify, which means that if you have Spotify, you can subscribe to us on there. And if you prefer that to the podcast app, so that's fun, that's options. So yeah, exciting times. All right. Without further ado, let us move into our spoiler-free discussion of Avengers Infinity War. Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. I think that I actually want to start somewhere, which is something I saw on Twitter, our fellow Hypeable writer and Marvel enthusiast, Natalie Fisher. She made a poll asking, were you actually aware that this was like the first of two parts? And a surprising number of people said no. So I'm just wondering if you had anyone, like, if you know anyone who didn't realize that this was the first part of a two-part film, or if you've had, like, seen any feedback relating to that. Because I think part of the reason why I feel the way I feel about the film is because I know it's the first of a two-parter. So I was always treating it that way in my head. But I can see why, like, if you didn't know that, that would make you mad.
My friends are a bad barometer for this question because we're all pretty in tune with pop culture. And even if they weren't, I am. So, I, you know what I mean? That wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah,
right. It's like, I'm really bad, like, biased situation over here on my end. So I don't know anybody who was out of the loop with regards to that. Although I did hear about I can't remember the outlet, but there was an outlet who posted a bad review of Infinity War and their writer was like clearly not in the know. And one of the things that they dinged the movie on was how allegedly none of the characters ever introduced themselves and everybody in the theater was just supposed to know who they were and like was supposed to know what was happening. Like there was not enough backstory for this particular reviewer, which I thought was pretty funny because Infinity War, even though like Infinity War parts one and two are parts like two parts of a whole story, it still just like picks up with the rest of the Avengers movies because it's still a part of the Avengers saga.
Yeah, that's really funny. That's really funny, the idea that it's so clearly now a series, you know, like almost a TV series. So that's a funny review. So tell me just your general reactions to the film.
Oh my gosh, I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought, I was really impressed by the pacing of the movie. And I was also, like, the thing that I was most worried about, honestly, is that not necessarily of all the moving parts, but more I was worried about the dialogue and how that was, the script was kind of going to affect all of these different voices they were trying to pack into the movie. Because, like, the example I keep giving, I guess, is, like, specifically with Guardians of the Galaxy, like, that world and those characters, they interact with each other and with their surroundings, like, completely differently to, like, any of the other Marvel crew. So I was, like, a little bit worried about whether it was all going to make sense, like, dialogue-wise, to have them all in the same movie, but everything felt, like, really natural, so I was really pleased with that. And, yeah, I have, like, some questions, but now that I've seen it, I think I kind of understand some of the cryptic comments you made last week about
how you felt.
Yeah,
like what specifically?
I think that you, like, you mentioned something about how you felt about Thanos and questioning like whether he's like a good villain, and also I think that you mentioned something about how there were some problems with like where the story could continue for you.
Mm-hmm.
Was that you?
No.
I feel like I've talked to like 5 million people about it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I totally understand like where you stood with Thanos. Definitely. But
you weren't a huge fan.
Well, I think that like, the first time I saw it, I went to see it twice just to prepare because I knew we were going to do like a spoilerful discussion later. And like the first time I saw it, I could kind of like, I understood that. And then, like, I kind of went in with, like, a clear head the second time because I already knew what was going to happen. I wasn't kind of, like, waiting for all of the proverbial balls to drop. It was more just, like, let me put all the pieces together while I'm watching this story again. And given that his character has such a dark storyline and, like, his motive is, like, incredibly dark in general, I understand why they did what they did with his character.
Yeah, right.
But also, he's not, like, the quintessential villain. You know, he's a little bit more human than the quintessential villain.
I guess.
Just, like, the way that he interacts with certain characters. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I got what they were doing. I just didn't like it, you know? The whole movie, and again, some certain factors that we'll get into in the spoiler section kind of influenced this, but the whole movie, I was just like, oh, more sand. Like, we don't need any. I get it. And I thought that the maybe it was just because when the movie was so as linear as it was, not really that much felt like it could be surprising. So until the ending, so I think that for me, every sort of attempt to make Thanos interesting or like humanize him, like you said, for me it just felt more expositional than part of the movie itself, you know? So it wasn't like I was like, okay, well, we need this Thanos moment for this and this. I was just like, all right, so here's another, like, Thanos bit to maybe make us care about him. But, like, we know roughly how the story is going to go. I didn't feel like the movie, like, was in any way surprising. And I guess, like, all the time spent with Thanos kind of just ended up feeling like filler for me, which maybe if they had actually, instead of saving him for this last one, if they'd actually done something with him in previous movies, I might have been more interested. But it was just basically kind of like introducing a villain just for this specific movie and making us quote unquote invested in him, but like in a really clunky way, and taking that time away from other characters that I had come to the movie to see. You know, that's kind of like what ended up happening. And Thanos ended up ultimately being a plot device, you know, in a way that felt very clunky to me. So that was probably my least favorite part of the movie, actually.
Very interesting. I'm so hesitant to like go deeper into things because I don't know how like it's so easy to just go straight into the nitty gritty with this. But yeah, I mean, like overall, I really enjoyed it. More than I thought I was going to. I think it's really easy to like go into this movie with some reservations about how they're gonna play with all of these different people that are actually in this, because it is like a cluster fluff of superheroes. But I think they did a pretty good job balancing out who was in it. You know, obviously there were some people missing, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you say the pretty good job balancing, because I think the balance, again, is something that I can appreciate more on rewatch, but I certainly didn't appreciate when watching it. But overall, like you kind of said, you enjoyed it, but you don't sound like over enthused.
I don't know if I, like, I can't explain that without getting into everything.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I thought it was
so really, like, five out of ten.
I'm trying to think of, no. I'm just trying to think about how to say things without, like, saying things, you know?
Okay.
I don't want to talk about, like, which parts specifically excited me and, like, you know, or made me feel things, because that's bordering on spoiler territory. But, like, also, I guess one thing that I can say is that I know that, like, humor tends to fall flat for you sometimes in Marvel movies, but I definitely thought that, like, the humorous moments in this were, like, really funny. And there's some really great moments.
I will say some of them were really funny. I definitely laughed more than once.
Oh, that's good. I really enjoyed, like, there are some scenes, like, specifically with the Guardians that were really, really great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I really thought that, like, there were some really great, like, funny moments, which was really nice because, like, again, like, the idea of this story, even, like, regardless of how you feel about Thanos, like, a lot of the elements are, like, a little bit darker than what we normally get, and the stakes are a lot higher because a lot of the things are a little bit darker, so I did appreciate that there was some fun stuff mixed in with, like, the peril and destruction.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I think, you know what is funny about that is that you said the Guardians, and the one thing, like, pacing wise that I think it is about this movie that I think is fair to say is that almost like you remember that Captain America Civil War, people were calling it basically a Iron Man movie in disguise. I feel like this Avengers movie was almost like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie in disguise, because there was a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy in this film. And that was one of the things I didn't appreciate, because I think I've come to realize that I'm not a massive fan of Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I liked the first movie. I thought it was interesting and different. But then the second movie was basically like an exact replica of the first movie. And even though I will agree that they did, it wasn't that it was all bad. It was just, a lot of it was just more of the same. And like, they have three jokes, and those are the jokes that they make. So it's like when you add other characters to their dynamic, it gets interesting. But when it's just them, I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I saw this in 2014. So I think that part felt a little bit stale to me. I will say that, like, surprisingly, in terms of characters that I did like, Doctor Strange is less annoying to me after this movie. There was a lot of Doctor Strange as well. But I think that they actually did a better job with him in this one than his solo movie did of making him sympathetic, which is necessary. So I liked him.
He was a great balance for a lot of the characters that he was partnered up with too.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That was nice.
I think so. So it's like, he was a surprise that I liked. And I think in terms of just to sort of mention a few other characters, and then you can say, like, who you liked as well. I'm, like, forgetting who was even in this film. I really enjoyed... Every time the movie was on Earth, it was in Wakanda, was probably my favorite part of the film. And everything that was in space, because we know there's, like, stuff in both, so that's fine, was a little bit less interesting to me. But I really enjoyed Thor. I always enjoy Thor. And I always enjoy Captain America. And I really kind of, obviously, Okoye, there's a particular scene with her that I really love. And I guess I didn't hate the Wanda stuff as much as I thought. Like, not that I hate her, but I was just never into her. But I really liked sort of her parts. And I really kind of actually liked Iron Man's parts, which is also one of the first times that I've actually liked Iron Man. But I think that what he was going through in this film, and what, like, it kind of sets up, like Iron Man will be, I guess, the main Avenger until it's the end of his time as an Avenger, whenever that may be. So that's fine. Like, it's fine that the movie spent some time with him. And I actually think I enjoyed him a little bit more this time around. Yeah, I think the movie, for the most part, I mean, it made some choices, and it, and I think the Russo brothers and I, we, it's very clear that we don't necessarily align on what we consider the best parts, and that's fine. I think they might have a little bit better handle on it than I do, really. But as for what the movie was, I enjoyed it, and I thought some parts of the movie were incredibly repetitive. I thought it was an okay movie until the end, which I really liked, which we will talk about in the spoiler section. Do you want to just to say like your overall, like your favorite characters and stuff, and then we can...
Yeah, I mean, I think that you pinpointed a lot of my favorites too. I really enjoyed the scenes with Wanda. I always love me some Captain America, but I do... Well, I can't say that. And I really, like, I know you're not, like, really into him, but I did kind of enjoy the Spider-Man arc in this, too.
Yeah, I actually did, too. Yeah. It did a lot to make me like some of the ones that I hadn't liked a little bit more, I guess. What did you think of the ending? Complete spoiler-free reaction.
Oh, my God. But I also have some problems with it. Like, I have some questions. Mm. So we'll get to that.
Okay. We'll get to that. All right. So those were our spoiler-free thoughts on Infinity War. It should tide you guys over until we get our bonus segment out. So let us know what you guys thought. We would be really interested. We didn't gather any feedback for the bonus segment just because we decided to do it so last minute. But we can pick it up again next week because I think by that time it will be a little bit safer to just talk about the film, or we can like ask people to turn it off before the listener feedback or something. So any Infinity War thoughts that you have, please send them to us, hype@hypeable.com or Twitter @hypeablehype. Moving into the news now, we're going to start, it's like the good old days. We're going to start with Harry Potter news. Yay! Although the news themselves is like the opposite of happy. J.K. Rowling has made another death apology on the 20th anniversary of the Battle of Hogwarts. Whoa, that's wild. She apologizes for killing someone who did not die in the Battle of Hogwarts. Dobby! Aw, that's, I guess, sad. It's, you know, it's funny. First of all, I'm curious to hear what you, like, your thoughts on Dobby, because I have the most unpopular opinion in the world when it comes to him, but, what do you think about her apologizing for killing characters?
I don't know. It's like tradition at this point, but it's like kind of like carnage that can't be undone anyway. So
yeah, like she did it.
Yeah, but there are other people that like I mean, Dobby was really bad, but I think like out of everybody that did die in the Battle of Hogwarts, the three that always get me the most are the two really are Remus and Tonks. Just because of Teddy, you know?
Yeah.
They, like, literally leave behind a child. It's like, that's awful. And obviously the child has a good support system, but still, it's just, like, terrible. I keep waiting for her to apologize for killing Lavender Brown so that we'll just know already if she's dead or not, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. This was kind of, like, that's an interesting funny. Choice. I feel like she's running out of people if she's moved on to Dobby, who didn't die at the battle.
I know. I wonder if she'll bring in characters from previous books, like Sirius and stuff. Eventually, she's going to run out of... Like, she didn't kill that many people. You know? Or she's going to be like, I'm sorry for Kingsley Shacklebolt or something.
She's going to be like, I'm sorry I killed Lily and James. But that's kind of what starts the whole series. So it would not make sense to do that, you know?
I know. I'm sorry for Voldemort. That would also be a funny one.
Oh my god. Could you imagine if she said that? I'm sorry for killing Voldemort. Oh my god.
You know, like eventually in like 20 years she's gonna be like, I'm sorry for killing Ron Weasley, or like, I'm sorry for killing McGonagall. She's gonna start killing off people of like old age.
Oh no. Has she apologized for killing Hedwig? If she's not like sticking to battles.
Well, Dobby didn't die in the battle, so
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
done it, but I guess she hasn't yet. You know what? To be honest, I am like a million times sadder about Hedwig than I was about Dobby. I never really liked Dobby. I don't even think his death in reading the book made me cry the first time, which is saying a lot because I was like sobbing through that entire book, and I definitely didn't like him in the movies. So I don't know. I feel bad for saying that because I know people love Dobby, but I never liked him. Dobby and Hagrid. I think they had the same voice in like her writing, and it kind of, and it annoyed me.
Mm. I feel like a lot of people don't really care about Dobby very much lately. I don't know. I know that he's like very popular, but I don't think that you're alone in that Dobby sentiment.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Hagrid, on the other hand, you might be on your own there.
I'm one of the, yeah, that's a very unpopular one, that one. But, oh, well. R.I.P. Dobby, I guess. Sorry that you're dead.
I really want that to be the title of this episode, R.I.P. Dobby, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know if you're going to care about this next news story, but I cared a lot. NSYNC is one of the best boy bands of all time. And apparently Hollywood decided to finally, you know, recognize that, memorialize that forever. Out in Hollywood, one of the biggest tourist attractions, aside from like The Hand and Footprints and Cement in front of the Grauman's Chinese Theater, are the stars that line the Walk of Fame. And I feel like in general, you only really see a small portion of those if you're at Hollywood and Vine, where the Chinese Theater is out in Hollywood. But the stars actually span pretty far away. Like I, one time we were going and like the first time I ever went, I remember my friend asked like which star I wanted to see, and I was like, oh, I want to go see like James Dean's star. And we didn't end up doing that because his was like so far away, and they like rotate them based on popularity sometimes. I'm sure this is not going to be the case with NSYNC, who just got honored, but they actually got their star ceremony over the weekend on April 30th, which is one day before everybody's favorite meme holiday, the It's Gonna Be May. Which is great. And it was kind of really cool because, you know, obviously like NSYNC broke up a long, long time ago when Justin Timberlake went solo. They reunited about 5 years ago for the MTV VMAs when Justin Timberlake was being honored for like a bigger, like I think it's like the Vanguard Award. And that was kind of like the last time they were all together in one place, and they performed for a few minutes at that. And it's just like, it's really fun. If you haven't seen it in a while, I highly recommend going to look it up. But it's very rare that we see all five of them in one place, so it was kind of cool that they all came out with all of their respective significant others. Some of their moms were there to really bring it back. Carson Daly came out and like made a speech, and he of course was the original host of TRL, which is now back on MTV. And then they went and did Ellen the next day, and like that was really fun. So it's just really fun to see them like all together again, especially if you're like, you know, a kid of the 90s or kind of grew up with that music. It was just like really fun. So yeah, kind of fun little news nostalgia piece for you guys. And if you want to see more pictures, head over to hypeable.com for that.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I like NSYNC just fine. I'm happy they got recognized. I thought they had broken up, so that's how NSYNC I am with them, but good for them. Good for Justin Timberlake and the rest. So moving on to a movie trailer, we've got, you know, speaking of Marvel, Ant-Man and the Wasp is, I believe, the next in Marvel film coming up. And obviously Ant-Man and the Wasp, as should be common knowledge, were not in the Avengers Infinity War film. Although, as one of the actors makes a point of saying in a funny little video that came out featuring the Infinity War actors, they could have been there. They might just have been very small. But yeah, so Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out and a new trailer has been released. Have you seen this trailer?
Yes, I have.
It's very good,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, they played it before my Infinity War screening the second time. So that was kind of cool to see it like on the big screen. Not that it really matters, but you know, it's always kind of cool to see it up there. So
that is cool. Yeah, really, I didn't get to see it in the cinema, but I was surprised by how fun this trailer was. Like I don't have high hopes for Ant-Man. I'm happy that the Wasp is there, but I wasn't like, yay, and the Wasp movie. But this looks a lot of fun. It looks like they're leaning into the, dare I say, the Edgar Wright of it all. And like sort of emulating like something like Baby Driver a little bit. You know, it looks like a little bit of a heist movie, a car chase movie, Kingsman or Deadpool, but obviously a little bit toned down because it is still Disney. And actually, yeah, it looks really fun. And Evangeline Lilly looks like she has a lot to do. Like Marvel sort of realized this, the thing people probably find the most interesting is the Wasp, not Ant-Man. So they're leaning into that on screen, which is a nice, I guess, consolation prize for not actually having a female-led superhero movie.
Yet. We can't forget Captain Marvel's just around the corner.
It's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that this was really, really fun. I thought that the first movie was a good time. That's very along the lines of like my brand of humor with what Michael Peña got to do in that and stuff like that. And I enjoy me a good Paul Rudd. But Evangeline Lilly definitely like steals the show as the Wasp in this trailer. And I'm so excited to see more of her for sure.
Yeah, me too. And the poster, you know, has her like them the exact same size and she's at the top layer. So that's really cool. And the movie comes out July 6th. I am quite excited about this. I'm probably going to go see it. So I hope you guys are excited as well. Oh, and it's still me. So moving into TV show. I don't know why I didn't... I made it in this order. I could have put you first. But I'm just going to barrel along. So Hulu has a renewed The Handmaid's Tale for season 3, which is very exciting. I don't know if you're watching season 2, Pam, or if you're waiting for the whole season to be out. I planned to wait, but then I couldn't. So I watched the first 2 episodes and they were so good. I was surprised because I'd heard people say that season 2 would be leaning more into the dreariness and the toughness of it all. But I actually like was very positively surprised by how much hope was in these episodes. I'm always surprised, I guess, when The Handmaid's Tale is like even vaguely hopeful. So I really enjoyed them. And I know there's a 3rd episode out now, which I plan to watch soon. And I'm excited it's getting a season 3. I love The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, I really like it a lot. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet just because Handmaid's Tale premiered around the same time as The 100 and also Westworld, which we're going to talk about next. And yes. I forgot that we were getting it in April. I thought we were getting it closer to summer. So that's really exciting that it already got picked up. And I'm excited to get the second season started.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, I guess I see your priorities.
Well, it's just like sometimes we should probably, I should segue into this better, but basically sometimes I feel like certain shows are more publicized than other shows. I hardly saw any trailers on television for The Handmaid's Tale. They're probably all living on Hulu because it is like an online streaming platform original series. But one of the things that was on my radar, because I watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver every week and they're always pimping out Westworld, is that Westworld also started back up about 2 weeks ago now, and they're 2 episodes into their second season and HBO has already picked up the show for a season 3. There's not very much else to talk about here just because, you know, there's still a lot of questions and mysteries that are unraveling within this second season. We're very early on in, so there's no point in trying to figure out where we're going to go from here because we haven't gotten to the end of this season yet. But it's good news for fans that just can't get enough of Westworld because they will be coming back for a 3rd season.
That's really cool. I hear that season 2 is a lot better than season 3. Sorry.
Yeah, it is. But like, honestly, I feel like I need to rewatch the first 2 episodes because there are a lot of moving parts and I almost feel like I'm not smart enough to be watching this show. I got a little confused there for a minute, but I think we're back on track and maybe next week I'll talk about it in TV show of the week. But yeah, it's getting really interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And all right.
Oh, is this me?
Yeah. Sorry.
And then we have one more story for television this week. 13 Reasons Why is officially returning very soon for season 2. We actually got a new trailer to go along with the release date earlier this week. The second season is officially set to premiere via Netflix on Friday, May 18th. And the trailer is pretty cool. It actually, like, you know, the first series, the big retro technology that they used to tell Hannah's story was through cassette tapes, and they're playing around with Polaroids this time around. And it's really artsy, this trailer, as the Polaroids start dropping in front of all of these characters that we met in the first season. You kind of notice that the close-up picture of the characters in the Polaroids are like much more in anguish than like the fronts that they're, you know, portraying out to the world. So that was kind of cool. It's still kind of dealing with this idea that everybody's still got secrets. Sounds like it's going to be another high stakes season. We both watched the first season and we really enjoyed it. So are you going to watch season two?
Yeah, I might. I don't know. I feel like the first season gets a lot of flack for how it handles suicide and everything. And I mean, obviously it's a very sort of impactful series. I think people should proceed with caution, but I really did enjoy season one for what it was. I do, and I think the trailer is really good, actually. I really enjoyed the artsy look of it, but I wonder, did she really leave more? Like, it feels so contrived that there's more, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not like super like, yes, I would like to see how Hannah further impacts their story by having saved all these things. Like, I feel like it's enough. Like season one was enough for me. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't think that we necessarily need more of Hannah's story. So I'm intrigued to find out just how much we're going to get of her this time. But I do feel like, and it's been a while since I've seen the first season, that there are some loose threads with other characters and how like that like should probably be tied up. But I, like you, don't really know if we needed a whole second season for that. Like, if they had added maybe two more episodes to the first season, they might have been able to leave it at that. So it's going to be interesting to see if they pull off a whole second season or if they just start grasping at straws because there's not enough story there.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. When is that coming out, did you say?
May 18th, Friday, May 18th.
Oh, so soon. All right. Okay, so moving on to TV show of the week. Now, I mean, you guys, I'm going to be very sort of, I feel like, one note for the next like 10 weeks. So strap in. So obviously The 100 is back for season 5. And what episode are we on? The second episode aired a couple of days ago. Did you watch it, Pam?
I have not had time to see it.
Oh, no.
It aired just yesterday for me, though.
Oh, right. I forget the time difference. Well, okay. Then never mind all the commentary I was going to make. But no, it's fine. It's probably okay, actually, because some people might not have seen it. This was the second episode. It was called Red Queen. And unlike Eden,
The big thing already got spoiled for me on Twitter.
I know.
Because actor retweeted you.
I know. I was, oh my God. So yeah,
you didn't even, I didn't even get spoiled by you, but I did. And I was like, I know. Betrayal. Like
the stupidest. I was so mad because, there was a big thing that happened in this episode. And I was like, because my article is very sort of good at hiding it, like the title and the picture and everything is like obscuring the thing because I didn't want to spoil it. But we were like live tweeting it, obviously, everyone using the hashtag, reacting. People were like posting pictures and shouting about it. And I was like, well, okay. So like when I tweet out my article, I can like use the hashtag and be like, oh my God, this thing happened. Because why not? It's one hashtag more or less, you know, like it doesn't make a difference. And people avoiding the show are avoiding the hashtag. So if I use that, it's fine. And then the actor involved with the thing tweeted out my tweet with like a caption going, sorry, West Coast, I didn't spoil you.
Yeah.
It's like, you just did though. But I mean, nice of him to retweet it, I guess. Oh well, it's his story to spoil or not spoil. I just thought it was funny that he like quoted me and blamed me for a thing that he did. But okay, it's fine. It's water under the bridge. The episode is very, very good. I feel like I said this in my review that every like story beat aside, the best and worst thing that could possibly happen to me personally happened in this episode. And when I got the screeners, I was like, how? What do I even feel right now? Because it like went almost directly from the terrible thing to the amazing thing. But it's a really, really good episode. I think people who might struggle a little bit with Octavia and her arc and sort of feel like, oh, it's too dark or she's too mean, la la la. Like, this episode is really necessary because it fills in some of the blanks in her, I guess, that people have been kind of missing from her as she sort of heads towards the Blood Reina that we know she ends up at, which we saw at the end of Eden. we do get to see her check in with who she actually is as a person and what she's fighting for. And she gets to be Octavia a little bit in a way that we haven't seen really since before Lincoln died. So she does get to have a little bit of positive moving forward after, you know, the conclave last season, and sort of finding a way to not fix herself, but put some of her pieces back together. And it's really nice. It's a really nice to spend that time with Octavia, especially knowing what the bunker turns into. So I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really well done. I'm very excited for people to see the next week's episode, Sleeping Giants, because it might be, it's hard to pick favorites, but I think on rewatch, that one might be my favorite. So I highly recommend that one. It's a good season. You know what I love? Last season, when I was previewing the show, I remember just thinking, wow, I really hope that people like this as much as I do. And that wasn't always the case. And it was hard. It was kind of hard to preview because I really did enjoy season 4, but I also understand people's frustrations with it. And this season, I'm just like, wow, I can't wait for everyone to enjoy this as much as I do, because I just know that they will. And so far, that has proven to be accurate. And I love that. I love that feeling. It's good to be hyping up a show that you're actually like you are really hyped about and that everyone else is really hyped about.
I love that. I watched a few episodes of Lost in Space, and by a few, I mean like 1.5. This is Netflix, mm-hmm. new show of, it's a remake. Lost in Space, I feel like, has been remade quite a few times. I think the original iteration of the series was out in like the 60s, and then there was a movie version that came out in the 90s, and now Netflix has their own version. It centers around the Robinson family, who they're living 30 years in the future, and they have chosen to start a new life in space on a colony, but their ship actually gets thrown off course, and now they're light years away from their original destination, and now they've got to survive on this foreign planet that they were not expecting to land on. Their ship is like sunken into this big glacier at the beginning of the first episode. I didn't really love this show, but I might give it another few episodes because I feel like some people really like it. So maybe I'm missing something. And I do tend to like sci-fi, science-y stuff. Like, this, for all intents and purposes, should be right up my alley. But the first episode and a half didn't blow me away. So I haven't been like running to get back to it.
Yeah, I think that, like, I sort of, when I watched, I've only seen the first episode, and I thought it was, I've never seen an incarnation of Lost in Space before, and I thought it was sweet. I think that this show, what I liked about it was that it felt like a little bit more of a, like, family. Like, this might be one that I tell my brother to watch, and usually he's, like, I tell him to stay clear of those sci-fi shows, because they do tend to get very heavy and very violent and stuff, but this one is obviously more of like a family adventure. So I really enjoyed that. But I don't think it's like, it wasn't the, like, I, you know, it says a lot that I never went back and watched the rest of it. So yeah, I do think Will Robinson, the kid, is very, very sweet and a good
actor. So yeah, I think it's really great. Apparently people are really into the robot online. So that's a big draw if you're into robots.
I guess.
But yeah, like, I do want to watch a little bit more of this before I, like, make up my mind. But yeah, I guess you're right. There was, like, nothing necessarily wrong with the pilot. It just didn't really make me, I wanted to feel more hooked, you know? I wanted to, like, care more, and I wanted to, like, go on this adventure with this family more than I did. So, we'll see. I'll keep you guys posted.
Yes. Okay, awesome. All right, so those were our TV shows of the week, and I guess Handmaid's Tale was kind of a little bit of a bonus. I did want to bring up another one. What was it? Why can I not remember what the show I just watched? Oh, no, actually, this was a question for you. Have you watched Jane the Virgin?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched all of this, any of this past season, but I heard that the finale is amazing.
Right. I wanted to get your thoughts on The Big Shocker, but I guess I won't
now. You know, I was talking to my friend Andrea, who's actually been on this show before, I think once or twice, and she texted me. She's like, I need to talk about Jane the Virgin. I was like, oh, I haven't seen it, but it's going to be a while before I get to it. So go ahead and just tell me how you feel. And she was like, no. It was done so well that, like, I don't even want to spoil you. Like, I want to be selfish, but I don't want to spoil you. And I haven't seen anything about it since. So maybe I should catch up on that this weekend. See if I can get over to it.
Yeah, maybe you should. But yeah, no, that's a really big thing that's happening. And then I also just wanted to say that I'm still watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine and I'm still loving it. And I know it hasn't been renewed yet. And that makes me really worried because this is such a good comedy and such a sweet show. And like the only one I can watch to fall asleep. Whenever I watch The Magicians to fall asleep, I have nightmares. Like consistently. And I haven't had nightmares in like 5 years. But when I watch The Magicians before bed, it gives me terrifying just nightmares. I wake up and I'm like, oh my God.
That actually happens to me a little bit. Not like nightmares, like not terrifying, but just like very unsettling sci-fi nightmares I have when I watch like The Walking Dead, which I need to catch up on. And also like, and sometimes like when I was like, when we were binging The 100 season by season, I would have like The 100 themed nightmare. It's more just like running away from like masked people. In lush, green,
that's so funny.
Scary landscapes. But yeah, it was more just like, they're like unsettling feelings of being in dystopia and not necessarily like, I'm being eaten by a monster, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's so funny. That never happened to me, but The Magicians like sets off my nightmares really consistently. So I'm trying not to watch that before bed. So I watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine instead, which does not give me nightmares because it's an adorable show. So yeah, so those are some of the shows that I've been watching, we've been watching. We're going to move on to listener feedback this week. We have a couple of tweets and then an email, so let's just jump straight into it. If you start with Marie's tweet.
Yes, Marie says, hey, just wanted to recommend reading Crazy Rich Asians. The Kindle version is €2 and 19 euro cents. I don't even know how you say that. I'm so uncultured. Where I live, and I just finished it. Also, for alternative podcast apps, I recommend Overcast for iPhone users if you can't afford Spotify. And then she also asks, will there be an Infinity War spoiler discussion? Marie, yes, there will be on Patreon this week, but also potentially next week in listener feedback if you guys send in your thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. Laura says, your podcast put me in an awesome mood for my interview. Thanks, ladies. I hope your interview went well, Laura.
Me too. Good luck. Rachel says, have you discussed Ready Player One or Dear Love Simon yet? I tweeted back at her and I did discuss Love Simon, but the week that you were gone, we had Kyle on. So it was episode 180, if any of you guys missed that. And Ready Player One, I saw when I was off from hype, and I forgot to bring it up. I don't know if you went to see it in theaters, but I went to see it, and I really enjoyed it. I haven't read the book since, like, we discussed it on the show a few years ago. So for me, it wasn't necessarily about, like, comparing and contrasting, like, the source material to, like, what we saw on screen. I was just more looking to get, like, a feel for the story, and I feel like it really captured the essence of Ernest Cline's book, which is really nice. It's always really nice when a movie can do that. Although I will say that I definitely picked up on like certain things that were like big drastic changes from the book, but I feel like for cinematic purposes, it made sense to make those changes because the book is already pretty tricky. Like there's a lot of moving parts there and there's a lot of pop culture references. So there are certain tasks and stuff like that that I understand why they needed to change them up. And it definitely made sense in the context of things for the film version. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And tweet at me and let me know if you guys liked it, if you went to see it. Sorry, that one slipped under the radar.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess that sometimes that happens. And funny with this one, because we had been talking about it so much. I haven't seen the film yet either. But I was wondering, you know, in terms of the human characters, like when they're not their avatars, how do they look? Because I feel like we talked a little bit about this in casting, that they were maybe very pretty, or they look too much like their avatars. Yeah. Like they kind of lost that element of the story.
I definitely think that like it. I don't know if, like, we talked about this, but for me, it, like, really reminded me of, like, Final Fantasy VII, like, some of these avatars and, like, the... I love how, like, I was so specifically Final Fantasy VII. It is very, like, CGI-esque. And I feel like they might have overcompensated there just so that you did understand. Like, you were sucked into this, like... alternate reality that is the Oasis. For the human counterparts, I mean, like, obviously all of these people are actors, and actors are, like, all very pretty, especially, like, young actors tend to be very pretty. So it's kind of hard to ugly people up, as is evident specifically with, like, for example, Matt Lewis, who played Neville Longbottom in Harry Potter. They kept trying to make him awkward, and he just couldn't be awkwardified, you know? I mean, like, they I don't think that they did anything that was like, oh, let's, like, give Wade, like, pimples and, like, a gut, you know? They kind of just, like, let him be. That was, like, kind of one of, I don't know if you remember from the book, but there was a point where he was, like, hiding out for a really, really, really long time, and he was, like, and I was gaining weight, so I needed to, like,
a makeover.
And he needed to, like, get back in shape. Like, all of that is, like, a lot of that filler stuff is, like, cut from the movie, which, like, I understand why they had to make cuts like that, you know, because it just would drag on way too long. But, yeah, there was no, like, nobody was average looking, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, well. And then our final tweet is from Chanel, who says, "Hey, Hype, heading to Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Florida this weekend for my birthday. You guys got any tips? I hope this wasn't last weekend. Anyway, do we have any tips? Have either of us been? I haven't been.
I have been, but I haven't been to Florida since they expanded. So I haven't been since, like, 2011. Go for the frozen butterbeer. I like it better than the regular butterbeer. That's my tip."
That's it? That's your tip?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I guess. Oh, and also, like, I really like to send, like, postcards to friends whose, like, physical mail addresses I have. And if you send them from the Wizarding World, they'll have, like, a Hogsmeade stamp on them as, like, a postal stamp. So it won't say, like, from Florida. It'll say, like, from Hogsmeade, which I think is really cute. So last time I went, and also when I was in LA, because they'll do the same thing at the Hollywood Universal Studios, I sent some postcards out to some friends, just, like, as a little fun surprise.
Oh, that's nice.
All the rides are really great. And takes, like, I don't know if, like, they still have it, but, like, when I went, they had, like, a walkthrough line that you could, like, you could, like, spend some time just, like, walking through Hogwarts, because there's so much to see in that queue for the Forbidden Journey ride. So if they still have that up, definitely take advantage of just, like, walking through the line instead of, like, if the line is, like, moving along really quickly because there's not an influx of people. So that way you get to see some of the fun little hidden Easter eggs amongst the Hogwarts castle, because they did a really good job at that.
Cool. That sounds really cool. One day I will go, although it won't be, like, when I go to LA next month. We were looking into it vaguely, but it was just too expensive and confusing, and it was just one thing we didn't need. So maybe another day. Who knows? So we have an email as well from Allison L. Do you want to get that one?
Sure. Allison L. says, "Hi, guys. The comment section wasn't working for me, so I thought I would send you my first email." Well, thanks for emailing, Allison. And just as a reminder for you guys, there is no comment section currently on Hypeable.com for the foreseeable future. So definitely, if you want to get in touch, use our email address, which is hype@hypeable.com, or tweet at us on Twitter, which is @HypeableHype. So Allison writes, "I'm so happy you talked about Crazy Rich Asians. I have been waiting for them to release the trailer for so long, and it looks so good. I'm a huge fan of the series and was super excited when I heard they were turning it into a movie. I really recommend the series. It's fun and exciting and filled with great characters, and it doesn't take too long to get into. I really hope the movie does so well that they can do a second and third book, because they really go deeper into the family and start to follow some other characters that I ended up getting really invested in. I really want to see their stories play out on screen."
Yes, interesting. That's so exciting. We haven't read the book, either of us, but I am very excited to see the film. And thank you for emailing us, Allison, since the comments were gone.
I didn't realize it was a series, though, so that's kind of cool to know it's not a standalone.
Yeah, that is really cool. All right, so that brings us to the end of the listener feedback. If you guys have anything you want to let us know about, or if you have any feedback for us, or if you have Infinity War reviews that you want to share with us, you can do that by emailing us hype@hypeable.com and tweeting us @hypeablehype. Those are the ways to get in contact with us. And then we also have an Instagram @hypeablehype and a Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And of course, we have a Patreon, which is where you will be seeing our spoiler-filled discussion of Infinity War very soon. And you can access that on patreon.com/hypepodcast. So go check that out and subscribe with $2 a month to help support the show and check out all our bonus sections that are over there and our Merlin bonus stuff and our videos and all that stuff. Until next time, have a wonderful week, everyone. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.